Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. I'm Grant Reher. My guest this week is Onondaga County Executive Ryan McMahon. He succeeds Joni Mahoney in that office and took the office last November. He has prior experience in elected office in the Onondaga County Legislature, where he served as chairman of that body, and in the Syracuse City Council. County Executive, first, congratulations on the new position and welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, and thank you for the congratulations as well.
Oh, sure. So let me just start with a question about your predecessor in terms of the position you have now. What do you think are the most important assets that Joni Mahoney as County Executive left you to work with or build on as the new County Executive?
Well, I think over the years I worked with Joni a lot, and I watched Joni in the way she operated when I was a city councilor on some of the issues, and I learned a lot of things from her. But when you look at the transition we had, Joni was great. And we had about a 40-day period of time before I took over, and we knew I was going to succeed her. And she opened up her team and really engaged me in on a lot of the issues that we were going to have to live with, these types of decisions. And really, I think the one thing that she did best is she built a competent team. And we've built off that, but she left us with a good framework. And the team is really working well together. They're really working very well, driving our agenda, which is important. And I think that's kind of working with Joni for all the years that we worked together. We collaborated on so many big issues, so it wasn't like there was too much difference in our policy direction. But in regards to having a team there that's ready to go and implement our vision, we owe her a lot of thanks for that.
I know that elected officials hesitate to engage in these kind of generalizations, but you just mentioned that the two of you sort of have similar policy positions where you're coming from. So then would you regard yourself as a moderate Republican? Is that a label that you would put on yourself?
Yeah, I think I'm, you know, more the center-right model. And I think that I look at myself more as pragmatic, and locally the issues aren't as partisan. Yeah. So really trying to figure out, you know, I tell our team this, you know, we're really here to help people and solve problems. And sometimes government plays a large role in solving the problem. Sometimes we play a supporting role. And sometimes it's best that we find someone else to help fix it and we play no role. But I think overall, I'm certainly not a the Mississippi Republican Party committee member there, and I have a long track record of getting elected in Democrat districts and working across the aisle to build consensus to formulate good policy.
Thanks. I'll get a couple emails from people in Mississippi.
Yeah, that's okay. I apologize to my good friends in Mississippi.
Let me ask you, what do you think are the biggest challenges that you're inheriting as county executive that you've got to deal with, both short term right now, and then what are some of the longer term challenges that you see?
Yeah, so I think the two biggest challenges we have right now are the state of our infrastructure, specifically our infrastructure underground, and the poverty issue that our community is facing. So from a short term standpoint for infrastructure, we have certainly some serious issues in our Meadowbrook Limestone Sanitary District, which services the east side of the county and the east side of the city. And we have to essentially the ownership of the system is we treat the wastewater at the county, but we don't own the pipes coming into our facility. So the pipes are in such bad condition that there is clean water leaking into our wastewater system, and then we're treating too much clean water on a daily basis. Then all of a sudden, when that happens and you can't treat it fast enough or treat it all because it's over your capacity, then the regulators come knocking at your door with fines and consent orders. So the immediate challenge we have is that we're looking at a consent order from New York State. And what that means normally is you have to make a very large investment in your facility to increase your capacity of gallons to treat. In that community that's in that service area also can't really grow. And so neither one of those is really acceptable. So we're looking at innovative ways to correct the ownership of the whole process and working with the municipalities in that area. So that's certainly an immediate issue in infrastructure, but we're looking at the whole system. What's the plan? Because Meadowbrook Limestone is the problem today, but we know our Metro and our Brewerton and our Wetzel Road systems are the problems of maybe next month or next year or the following year. And with poverty, we're taking long, mid, and short-term approaches to try to deal with this issue that we have. Poverty is more than just concentrated poverty in our minority communities in the city. We have rural poverty. We have suburban poverty. So we're looking at that, and we're coming out with different plans, different initiatives. Again, the county is kind of the quarterback or the coach. And we have all these great partners in this space. We need to make sure that those partners are doing the right things and that our funders are funding the right areas and we're not duplicating efforts or watering down efforts. Those are the two large issues. And those two issues really tie into our economic development strategies and how to grow our local economy.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But there's something that you kind of revealed in your answer there I wanted to ask more directly about, and that is the county is just incredibly diverse in terms of if you want to think about rural versus suburban versus urban, ethnically, economically, culturally. I mean, there is sort of a general upstate culture, but even within that, there's differences. How do you sort of wrap your arms around that and think about being the representative of a place that's that diverse?
I really compare it to New York State because we have a city and the issues in the city are different from the issues in our rural communities. And then we have affluent suburbs and we have suburbs that are struggling, that are working class suburbs. So we're a lot like New York State. And if you look at the way our state electorate legislative bodies work, right, they don't always represent all the regions of New York State. So it's a challenge when you're the executive. And that's my job to be our voice for every neighborhood with our own legislature and within our own leaders within the community, but also with Albany and then Washington as well. So it's a challenge. Part of I think I'm well prepared for it. I'm the only person who was a city councilor, the chair of the legislature, and county executive. So I think those experiences have helped me understanding the urban issues, the urban budget, growing up in the city of Syracuse, working with my colleagues at the legislature, leading that branch of government, and those the majority party of that is dominated by suburban and rural interests. So that blend of experiences really helps me when we're looking at issues. And if we make this policy decision, how does it not just impact our city proper or outer ring city neighborhoods, but what suburban neighborhoods get impacted and what rural areas, and where are the opportunities for us to work together, and there's a lot of them.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with Onondaga County Executive Ryan McMahon. I had another more specific question related to the challenge of poverty and the way that the county might help to attack it, and it has to do with the relations between the city and the county, more specifically the better off suburbs, and you just alluded to that diversity there. It's been a point of conversation, the relationship between the city and those outer areas. It's been a point of conversation. It's been a point of some cooperation. It's also been a point of conflict. And it's my sense that education and also what to do about poverty have been flashpoints in some of those more conflictual relationships. And you just mentioned this. Like your predecessor, you grew up in the city. You have previous service as a city councilor. So can you tell me how you see, not what you're doing, but how do you see the relationship as it exists at present with those two kinds of areas and the citizens there?
Well, I think your leaders set the tone. And so right now we have a situation where the mayor of the city of Syracuse and myself grew up two blocks away from each other. We went to school together. We've worked professionally together. We've been friends for a long time. So I trust the mayor, and I believe in what he's trying to do. And I think the mayor knows that I have his back on issues as well. So I think that sets an important tone for our residents. And I think it's a tone that people have been thriving for when you look at what's going on in Washington in Albany. It's heated rhetoric, whether and it's not functioning well, but we are functioning quite well here. I think that the other piece of it is we need to look at and understand that as a region and as a county, we for years have been saying you can't have a strong county in a sick city. And I think people buy into that. And what we're talking about, too, is you can't have weak villages and weak towns and have a thriving region either. So our interests are truly aligned. The city is the economic hub for our region, not just the county. And we need to do what we need to do and recognize that. And the first thing we did, which is a huge victory, is we got the extension of the city-county sales tax agreement done.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, tell me about
and
that.
And really, the mayor and I had conversations before I was county executive about that this plan has worked. It's a lot. It's given time for the city to work its way out of its fiscal hole. They're no longer in a fiscal crisis, but they still have a fiscal deficit that they're working through. And for the county, we provide a lot of services. It's not like we have money to spare. We need that revenue, too. That's our largest revenue. So it's worked for the community. Instead of having a divisive process like it was 8 years ago, let's extend the current deal. When you know where the money's coming from and you know where your revenue is, then you can work on other things together. And I think from getting this deal done, it set the framework for us to do more together on infrastructure and on some education-related issues. We have some real exciting projects we're collaborating on.
Should send the two of you to Washington and maybe talk about a wall, but that's not what we're here to talk about today. Another issue related to this in some ways, but also more general, your predecessor in the position was a proponent of a metropolitan form of government. And there have been long-time discussions about this in the region, and it has implications for how challenges of poverty and education would get met. Both the former and the current mayor are against that proposal for more metropolitan government. So I have two questions for you on that. First of all, how do you see that issue?
Yeah, I think when if you're the consensus report, we're having one city-county government. I never thought that was the right approach as far as trying to look at modernizing government and the services we do and the way we fund services, because the city and county do different things. I always thought it made more sense if you wanted to modernize things to look at counties. We have small counties around us. Should we have one larger regional county so we can compete with the Long Island counties and the larger counties for political influence? I've said this to the mayor and all of our towns and villages. Any service that the county government is in and you are in and you want to get out of, we will find a way to work together to make that work. And we aren't in the fire professionally paid fire department business in county government. We don't have a fire department. So why would we get into that business now? But I will say we're in the emergency management business, and if our response times to emergencies are impacted because we don't have enough volunteer firefighters or emergency management personnel, then that becomes a county issue, a public safety issue that we need to dive into and help figure out a solution to. So I just thought I'm not in favor of having one government. I think the city of Syracuse would be well suited to maybe get out of certain businesses that they no longer need to be in. And I've always said a strong city needs to be good at three things. It needs to be good at public safety, schools, and housing. And if you're good at two out of three, you're in pretty good shape. If you're only good at one out of three, you're struggling. So I think if the city simplifies what they do, works with us on some of these other things, we can get to a form of modernized government that really works for the region.
And just briefly, given what you've just said, then my impression is, in terms of a metropolitan form of government, that issue is probably kind of politically dead for now.
I think so.
Okay. You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Ryan McMahon, the new Onondaga County executive who has succeeded Joni Mahoney in that position. Of course, one huge issue for the area that we haven't discussed yet is I-81, it's kind of almost like waiting for Godot or something. But just a couple questions about this. First of all, I'm gathering that you agree with others that this is a very important decision for the region.
It's a 100-year decision, at least, and so it's important that everybody looks at all factors in the decision-making process, including how do you mitigate the losers in a decision, right? There's always winners and losers in any decision, but we can't correct the sins of the past with having a decision that creates more victims so that down the road the cycle continues. So I think when you look at it, there's a reason my predecessor had kind of a position on this, and mine's very similar, is because you referenced the diversity of the county. When we look at an infrastructure project, we look at how it impacts everybody. And we don't just look at it through the lens of the city of Syracuse or the towns of Salina or the towns of DeWitt or the rural communities, but how does it impact everybody? And the solution to this that does the best to mitigate winners and losers is the most expensive solution, and that is a tunnel with a community grid. It gives the city the connectivity they're looking for. It continues the north-south traffic and recognizes the billions of dollars of investment in some of these suburban communities that didn't exist before Route 81 was put there, right? Mm. So there's communities that literally did not exist that have been built. So we didn't make the decision before where to put it, and I would argue it probably wasn't a smart decision back then. It really divided the 15th Ward, which was a strong African-American community. But now we need to find a solution that works so that in 50 years we're not talking about another community that got devastated by this next decision. And that's kind of our job, the role I think we play. And we think we found one. It costs a lot of money. Like any capital budget, capital project, you come up with a budget. Now, in this project, this is the only one I've ever seen, Grant, where nobody's given us a budget. So if you don't know what your budget is, it's tough to say something's more expensive or not expensive enough. And it's a federally funded project with state funding, 80-20. And so I think the community should go for the best option, even if it is the most expensive. And if they tell you the funding's not there, then you need to assess what options are on the table at that point.
Now, before becoming county executive, and we've talked about this already a little bit, but you had intimate and deep knowledge of the county's issues and its politics. You've served as the county legislative chairman. I'm curious to know, in your new desk, what's most surprised you about sitting at the county executive's chair now and how things look? What didn't you expect to encounter?
Yeah, so you have a newfound appreciation for the responsibility that my predecessor had. And being someone who was an aggressive county legislative chairman, I know that Joni probably gets humor in this now. The advantages I have is I know the legislative branch of government very well and the players very well. And those relationships give us a great advantage to drive forward an agenda. But day in and day out, when you're county executive, the biggest differences are your time. And you have probably four or five issues that are thrown at you every day that you didn't anticipate. Some are personnel related. Some are on this project. Some are that project. Some are related to Washington. Some Albany. And you have to make decisions. And the decisions you make have consequences. And so you have to manage day in and day out, drive the agenda. We are the community lobbyist for our Albany, in Albany and in Washington, D.C. And these are just things you don't appreciate until you have the job.
So you worked in the city council also as a Republican, but that was at a time when the Democratic mayor at the time had some difficult relations with the Democratic council majority. And then,
yes.
You know, and then when you were in the legislature and you were the chair and you were the Republican county executive had some difficult relationships with the Republican legislative majority.
Yep.
But you were able, as you just sort of alluded to, to navigate that terrain, make some deals, bridge some rifts. So how are you thinking about that now in terms of here are two potential previous pitfalls that you could see folks falling into? How are you thinking about navigating that relationship?
Yeah, I think our relationships are, very strong, but I'm cognizant of the role the legislative branch of government plays. And I think the one thing that's different that maybe the legislative branch of government doesn't realize from about the executive side is the amount of work you put into getting a policy proposal or a capital project in. It takes a lot of work. and then you're ready to go and you're excited. Then you get like, oh my goodness, I got to go to the legislature now. So then you go through their process, right? So that's difficult, and I didn't understand that as well. But I know that they have their process. These are well-intentioned people who have the same goals for the community that we do. And so I think being there and understanding that more, I'm more cognizant of that, which is helpful. And I think my track record of trying to get a deal done when there's an impasse, figure out what the upside is for both sides, no matter what it is important in this role as well. When you're looking at whether it's city-county issues or county-town-village issues, at times you need someone to come in and mediate and get a deal done. And we've already played that role at times in our first 90 days here, and I'm sure we'll continue to do that.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. And my guest is Onondaga County Executive Ryan McMahon. So more generally, do you have a way that you would describe your leadership style?
I think it's aggressive is one way I've been described. I am aggressive, and when I have a vision, I want to implement that. But I'm also collaborative, and I prefer to have a bottoms-up approach. That's what we worked on with the sales tax deal. We had conversations with village mayors, town supervisors, council members, legislators for a very long time, setting the stage that we're going to get something done. The current model works. Maybe we can't give you revenue on this, but we can partner on infrastructure. We can partner on other things that will help your balance sheets, but we don't have revenue to give. And I think that approach has served us well. But we're aggressive. We know what we want to get done, and we're going to push those outcomes. And sometimes in government, things just don't move fast enough. And if you don't have somebody really pushing the needle from up top, it's going to slow down even more.
And you recently completed, I understand, a series of town hall meetings at various locations across the county. What were your most important takeaways from what you were hearing from people?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I got from it is the amount of energy there is in the community right now. People want to be engaged. People are paying attention to the issues. The engagement at all these events was really strong. And I really feed off of that, and that was really good. We're going to go back out. The next 2 weeks we have about we really got to drive our Albany agenda to make sure that certain policies recognize local interests. But after that, we're going to really go back out and do more town hall meetings in other communities. But you heard about issues that we've talked about, right? We talked about 81 everywhere. Mm-hmm. We talked about poverty, economic development, infrastructure. But then you would hear certain regional issues. In Skinny Atlas, we're going to talk about the lake. We're going to talk about the algal blooms, and we're going to talk about the HABs and the invasive species. And the public safety issues will come up in different parts of the community that see, little upticks in nuisance crimes and whatnot. So you have your tailor-made issues to those pockets of the community, but you have the regional issues that everybody's talking about as well.
Have you heard anything in particular that surprised you that, wow, this is, that salient to folks? I remember once when Mayor Stephanie Miner was on the program, and she said, the amount of calls we get about deer just, surprised me. It's just all about deer. So is there anything like that came out of the town hall meetings?
Because as a legislator, you get those calls going in, so they reinforced a little bit of what you thought were the issues, but there were certainly things that would happen. Or what really gets you every day in this job, Grant, is the human stories. Where you're in the human service business in county government, and we're really the only local government that does it. So day in and day out, we're hearing about stories that are just remarkable, some stories that are painful, and that gets you every day. And that, to me, that's a motivator to really drive forward. And I think that's why on the poverty issue, we talk about it everywhere we go. We're talking about poverty in Skinny Atlas as much as we are in rural areas or urban areas of concentrated poverty, because it's a community problem. And the solution isn't just government. It's going to be academics, It's going to be our schools. It's going to be the private sector. It's going to be the community at large and our nonprofit partners and our faith-based partners. So everybody has a role to play, and we can't let this data from certain studies define us on this for messaging for the community. We're a community that has had a problem. We're addressing the problem. We're coming up with plans to minimize this situation and make sure that poverty, while it's going to be there, is a temporary state in life for people, not the state in life.
In terms of economic development, again, your predecessor was a big proponent of the arts and felt that, you know, arts played a central role in reviving the community. What's your take on that? The role of arts in the county?
Yeah, we've been big supporters as well. At the legislature, we actually created a fund for the arts for an economic development arts grant fund, specifically for arts and cultural organizations that are driving events and new exhibits that are driving economic activity. We'll continue to do that and support the arts. When you talk to any business and when you're talking and you're competing with them, you're talking about workforce, you're obviously talking about some economics of the deal, but you're also talking, they want to know, what are people going to do? What are they going to, where are they going to play? And you need an arts and entertainment culture. And that's kind of one of the things that I think we're doing well in Onondaga County on, and we'll continue to build off of.
And finally, really quick, if there is a motto or a theme song that you'd want to attach to your new administration, what is it?
You know, I change on that. I don't want to box myself in on that yet, Grant. certain days it's, you know, hard rock. Some days it's really uplifting. So get back to me on that question.
Okay. All right. We'll check back in on with you on that. That was Brian McMahon, County Executive McMahon. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me.
It's great being here. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, conversations in the public interest.
The Campbell Conversations, conversations in the public interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. To learn more about the program or to hear previous interviews, visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations.